y'all. I'm Han.
And I'm Dan.
And we're on a mission to give biblical solutions
to life's crazy problems.
Welcome to the Han and Dad podcast.
How you doing today, Hannah?
I'm doing great, Dad. How are you doing today?
Yeah, doing good.
Doing great. Good. Very excited to talk about our topic for today.
Yeah. Yeah. Got some good thoughts on how we might can help people with some what?
Yes.
Broken relationships.
Broken relationships.
Yeah. There's way too many of those broken relationships around everywhere you look. So, just thinking about a couple different relationships that most all of us have that seem to either are broken or seem to get broken at some point. But just starting off with your generation, what do you see is maybe the top relationship that just kind of has a problem just staying mended, staying strong, and sometimes ends up broken? What do you think that would be?
Hands down for our generation, I would say romantic relationships.
Right. I think it's across the board. Yeah.
Yeah. I think our generation, we're so focused on falling in love instead of growing in love, you know, and that's right. What's going to get you a long, life-lasting marriage is that growing together in
right.
love.
Yeah. And by the way, congratulations again to you and your hubby. Yeah. Not married too long now. And
yes. 4 months ago. Yeah. What? Yesterday.
Yes. And and you can thank me for a good foundation.
Yes. Thank you, Dad, for doing the wedding.
Of helping you with the foundation. But, you know, your generation, it's crazy for someone my age, around my age, to think about the way that your generation meets, you know, and even starts a relationship. Because when I was young, many moons ago, we would actually get to know people, go to school with them, grow up with them, hang out with them, do things. And then that relationship would build out of having known someone. Where
yeah.
today, I think it's just totally different for your age group and the way that y'all meet.
Yeah, for our generation, pretty much everything is online. That's how we date now. You see a picture of someone, you're like, oh, I think you're cute, you're attractive, swipe right. Next thing you know, you're going on a date, know nothing about them, and that's it. It's just fast and easy.
Yeah, and you know, and that's so hard today because, you know, you think about a foundation. Every relationship has to start and stay on a
right.
good foundation. And the one thing I think that is so true of any good relationship, that foundation, no matter how attractive you think someone is, how much money someone makes, or all those things, if you lack one thing, you don't have a good foundation. That one thing, trust.
Oh, I agree.
And how hard is it today for so many younger generations, especially, and some even my age, you know, silver singles and all that, you know, they just meet someone and you know nothing about them.
Right.
Yeah. And if you don't have that trust, you don't have anything in a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very difficult today. But if I could say one thing is, you know, especially starting a relationship, is take your time.
Oh, yes.
You know, take your time.
Take your time. And my husband, Tyrese, we dated for 10 years before we got married. And let me tell you something, it was definitely worth the wait.
Right. And that's another thing, too. I see a lot of the younger generation today, it seems like they want to have everything's fast-paced.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, you know, for somebody like me, it's like, man, I'm just trying to keep up with the social media and how things are going and staying in touch with everybody. But one thing I've noticed, and not being critical of a younger generation, but one thing they need to consider is that when you look at your parents, grandparents, you need to realize sometimes in order for them to build that relationship, they're married 20, 30 years, they get a house, they get a car, that took years and years and years.
Yeah.
And I think now it seems like everything out there is just advertising. Meet someone today, get married tomorrow.
Yeah.
Get a house the next week.
Yep.
You know, get
finance for a car today.
Yes,
take it off the lot.
Yes. And build wealth in a year and you'll be set. But some of those things take time. And I think
right.
sometimes maybe we get frustrated when that trust isn't built right away and things don't happen, but it takes time.
I agree.
You know, it takes time.
I agree. And I think we definitely know how to like fall in love and to get the process started. But I don't think there's anyone out there telling us how to make it last. You know, like, oh, great, you're in a relationship. Now what do I do?
Right.
Nobody talks about how to lead up to an engagement, how to lead up to a marriage, how to make that marriage last. We don't have anybody telling us how to do that. So
right.
instead, it's like, okay, we'll just go out there and try to make this happen because that's what everybody else is doing. But you're seeing so many of those relationships fail because they're not building it on a firm foundation.
Right. And that's one thing, as you get older and you have children and then looking to have grandchildren, that's one thing. Yeah, one thing when you get to be my age, you've got to take a look at that and see what kind of foundation have you built for your children and others. And the sad fact is, I mean, most any statistic you go at these days, you take a look, and it's pretty much the same anywhere you check it out. But about 50%, half of marriages end in divorce. And so I want, you know, I'd like to say to folks my age have been married 10, 20, 30 years, and we've been married right at 30 years. What kind of example are we leaving for the next generation?
Right.
You know, have that trust, build that trust, and keep that relationship strong, because when they see, some others see us with a broken relationship, they're like, wow, we thought you had all the answers.
Yeah.
But we admit we don't, but we, it doesn't matter how old you are, you got to keep working on that relationship to keep it strong.
Right.
You know? So talking about the broken relationships, what do you think is maybe one or two things or something that comes to mind? What do you think is a cause of a relationship being broken or staying broken? What would you say is maybe something that comes to mind that causes a break in relationship?
I think for a lot of relationships, it's pride. You know, a person feeling like I'm right and you're wrong and I'm going to stick with that. And that's all they care about is being right instead of repairing the relationship. Because right. A lot of people, they don't like to take the time to self-reflect and talk about the negative things about themselves and work on those things because they're prideful.
Yeah. And, you know, Hannah, the truth is a lot of people walk down the road of loneliness. They walk down the road of just broken relationship after broken relationship with their pride.
Yep. They won't give it up.
And sometimes it's not a matter of who's wrong or right. It's a matter of mending that relationship.
Yep.
And we like the word vindicate comes to mind. We like to vindicate ourselves. And sometimes in a relationship, you can do more damage by just trying to figure out who's right or wrong instead of just saying, I'm sorry.
Right.
You know, and that's a big key to a relationship is forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You offer that forgiveness. You can't make somebody offer that towards you, but you offer that. Forgiveness, and that's a part that you can do to help that relationship stay strong.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people, you know, they don't have anybody helping them with giving them good advice on how to repair a relationship, because maybe their relationship with their parent is broken, maybe the relationship with their grandparents is broken, and they don't know what it's like to have a good relationship because the relationships in their lives are already broken and they don't even realize it. They just think this is normal, this is how relationships are, they're meant to break, and that's not the case. I think a lot of people weren't taught on how to be a better spouse, on how to be a better parent, how to be a better grandparent, how to be a better pastor, you know?
Right. And for relationships, I kind of look at it like a good marriage is a lot like a checking account. Okay. And here we are, you know, your spouse, you're in a relationship, or maybe you're just dating and, you know, your boyfriend, girlfriend, or you're in a marriage, it's like that checking account. We all know what a debit card is.
Mm-hmm.
And we love to take that debit card and do what? Put that debit card,
swipe it,
put it in there, get some cash out. Well, you know what? In order for there to be money in that account, you've got to do what?
Work.
You got to work, and you've got to deposit money in that account.
Yep.
And here's what I see in a lot of marriages, why they not just fail, but aren't as healthy as they should be. We all like to debit out money. We all like to swipe that card. But the part of relationship that a lot of people don't understand is the trust that goes in. It's not what you can get out of a marriage, what you put in. So you have to trust your spouse and trust your partner in a relationship. When you put that money in, it might not be spent the way you want it.
Right.
It might not be there for you to take out. But when you invest in a relationship and you show that person that you can be trusted, you're there to help them, then there's something in there for them to debit out when they need it. And if both people will do that, then that's, I think that's the way God intends is for us to help each other. And it's hard to trust. Think about it for a moment. Just putting your money, all your eggs in one basket and trusting that person to take care of that and to help you. And I think that's why sometimes it gets broken, because we don't trust each other.
Yeah.
And things happen. And again, you go back to being selfish.
Mm-hmm. It's all about what you want them to be, how you want them to act. And I think for a lot of people, they don't realize that you need to pray for your spouse to act the way God wants them to act.
Right.
To be that person that God wants them to be, not about yourself, because it's not about what you want for your partner. It's about what God wants for your partner. And when you have a true unconditional love for your spouse or your parent or your grandparent or whoever it may be, you're going to pray for them to have that relationship with God.
Right.
So that way they can find out who they truly need to be. And when they are being who they need to be, and you're praying about yourself, getting yourself right with God, and you're who you need to be, and you have God in the center, that's when you get a lifelong marriage.
And that's a very
happy marriage.
That's a great point. And as a pastor, almost every wedding that I do, it talks about the wedding ring and the circle of trust. But it's not just about two, it's about three.
Right.
And Christ in the center. And you're exactly right.
God in the center.
If you want
that foundation.
If you want the greatest relationship, the greatest marriages that you could ever see in society, it will be between the two individuals that go to God. Because let's be honest, we don't even know how we're supposed to act sometimes. We don't know how to become that great husband or that great wife. But if we'll go to God and say, God, you help me to become what you want me to be. And when both people do that, all of a sudden, you become unselfish, you become caring, you look out for the other person, and you don't expect anything in return. One great piece of advice when I was younger, before I ever thought about getting married, was from a woman who'd been married a long time. And she said, when you come into a marriage, if you'll give 110% and maybe expect 50%, that'll work. But a lot of people, you know, I think they come into a relationship saying, what, I want 100%. Percent for myself.
Yep.
Well, how much are you willing to give? Well, I'll give when you give.
Yep.
And then those relationships just crumble because people are being selfish. And you know, it's about what you pour in your marriage, not so much what you get out all the time.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, what do you think are some ways that you can show your spouse 110%?
Oh, wow. I really think that's really a lifelong process.
Yeah.
And that is really at the root, the biblical emphasis on Jesus and what he did, because it said that he came to this earth not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. So if we actually looked at marriage from the biblical perspective of just Jesus's life and how we are willing to give ourselves, our lives, everything that we have to our spouse, I think it would just totally transform marriages and relationships. And see, that's what I'm learning after 30 years of marriage. You know, I'll be honest with you, I hadn't always done that. I would do things, and I think a lot of people do things, and we say, oh, well, just out of goodness in my heart. But really, we want people to know we've done that. You know,
want the recognition.
Yeah, exactly, the recognition. And that just comes back to us. So I'm actually learning now, and I think it'd be good, especially for the men watching, and women too, but the men watching as the leadership role, the protector of the family, provider of the family biblically, is to realize that everything that I do now, it's for, you know, Lynn, mom, and for y'all as y'all getting started out and helping y'all, maybe grandkids one day. But I have to do that in a way that I don't want any recognition, that I trust my spouse so much, trust Lynn so much, that I just give.
Right.
And that's what Jesus did to us. Think about it. He walked on this earth. He gave to people. Some loved him, and then some shunned him and turned him away. And that's what's, I think, so hard. Might be some people that are really dealing with this issue of, well, how do I go on trusting people? What if I've been in a broken relationship? How do I trust people again? Because let's be honest, you put your heart out there, you know, and it breaks my heart to hear these stories of, well, we didn't even make it a year in marriage. But also it breaks my heart to hear these people that say, we were married for 25 years and my spouse woke up one day and said, I just don't love you anymore. I found somebody else.
Yeah,
and it's hard. How do you move on?
Well,
you go back, like we said earlier, you go back to who God is and how much he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to learn to trust again. But if you've got a good marriage and married for a while, yeah, I would say just pour into your spouse without expecting anything in return.
Yeah.
And I've heard it said one time, as a husband, you're look at your wife like a flower, and you nurture that flower, put that flower in some sunlight, water that flower, you know, and then you can, that flower smells good, you know, that flower is growing and blooming. And if we look at marriage like that, what we put into our spouse to help them grow instead of what we can get out of it. And I'll tell you this, when you do that, all of a sudden you'll see God bless that marriage.
I agree.
And then both of you get blessed.
Yeah.
Both of you get blessed.
But, yeah. So to comment on what you just said there, you were talking about biblical roles.
Uh-huh.
I think for our generation, we do not believe in biblical roles at all. I think we think that's an old time thing, and we're just not going to do that because why would I ever submit to a man?
Oh.
But I think that's simply because we haven't been informed.
Right. Oh, there's a word, wasn't it? Tim Tebow got flamed for that about saying he wanted a woman that would be submissive.
I believe you're right.
Yeah, yeah. And then it was like, oh, what does that mean?
It's just, I'm going to tell you what to do, and you're going to listen to it, woman, and that is not.
No, and that word is taken out of context a lot. And a couple of thoughts on that. First of all, people stop there to take it out of context, and some men will actually say, "Well, you just need to submit to me, no matter what, whatever I say. What I say goes that.
Only
that is not it at all. That is not it at all. It's like this, men. If we will give our wives something to submit to,
yep,
they will submit more readily than just us telling them what to do. And that's where it takes both roles in the marriage is for the husband as the lead, God's given leader of the home with that biblical authority. But so many times we as husbands, we abuse that authority.
Right.
And that is not, and God is not going to honor that.
No, he's not.
But when you truly submit yourself to God, and that's what the Bible says, submit yourself to God, then a good godly woman will want to submit.
Right. She'll see that you're submitting. Like for me, I know that Tyree submits to God because of the way that he lives his life. He's selfless. He encourages me every day. He builds me up. He makes me feel loved and cherished and honored every single second of the day. And I know that I can trust him 100% because I trust his relationship with God.
Right.
I know that he looks to God every single morning for direction to guide us in our lives. Therefore, it makes me want to submit to him as his wife. You know, and to honor him and to go by what he says because I trust his leadership and I trust his relationship with the Lord.
So you're saying you're submissive every day, every hour of the day, right?
Nah, I'm not submissive every day. I'm not going to go in here and lie now. No, I do not submit every single day. I do have an issue with authority, but I'm trying my best to work on it. And I'm asking God to help me with that because I love my husband and I love the Lord. And I'm trying to be the best version of myself, not only for God, but for him as well.
Yeah. And that's the key to any relationship is it's ongoing. You got to grow and learn from your mistakes and give your spouse credit. If you've been married for a while,
yeah,
they've stuck with you through some thick and thin.
Yeah.
And, you just got to keep working on it.
And you'd be surprised at what an encouraging word can do for your spouse. You know, just going by and saying, hey, thank you so much for doing that. And you'll see just their face light up and
right,
then the whole mood changes. And then you can have a happier day because you encourage them for doing just a little something.
Yeah, the Bible talks about, I think it's in Proverbs, you know, about kind words and even laughter and things like that. It's good medicine.
Right.
It's good for the soul. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I think we miss about Jesus sometimes is that and I love the way The Chosen shows him.
Oh, The Chosen,
yeah,
great series.
He's out having fun
and
laughing and all that. And that's good for us in marriage. And that's one thing that has kept us going, you know, is a good sense of humor. Even though sometimes when I would preach, I'd have to get jokes from a joke book, you know, and I get made fun of. But, hey, it was still funny. Anyway,
yeah,
anyway, we can have a little laughter and stuff. But one thing I would like for us to think about for just a moment, you know, there's a lot of relationships out there, and we talk about the broken relationship, and sometimes people, you know, they see that, you know, clean breaking relationship, and then they don't get back with their spouse, or they don't really mend that relationship. But another area I think is worth mentioning is that sometimes a relationship might not be broken, and people say, well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm better than that couple over there. We're doing better. But there's a fractured relationship.
Right.
And sometimes a fractured relationship can be just as bad as a broken relationship.
I agree.
Yeah, there's an old saying, sometimes it's better to come from a broken home than to live in one. Mm. And I think there's a lot of fractured relationships out there. And I know a lot of people know exactly what I'm talking about. If the marriage isn't right, relationship's not right, then we need to ask ourselves, is there something in our lives,
yep,
hidden that is causing a fracture?
Mm-hmm.
And from a medical standpoint, I'll never forget, I walked into a hospital room one time, and there was a lady that you would remember. It was Miss Madge.
Oh, Miss Madge Salter.
Yeah, and she was one of those people, say, from old school, never complain, you know, hard worker, tough, never, said anything about anything as far as hurting anything. But I'll never forget, I walked into that hospital room And she was visibly tears just rolling down her face. And she was in pain and just crying. I said, Miss Madge, what's wrong? She said, they have determined I've got a fracture, a hairline fracture in my hip. Mm. It didn't show up on the x-ray. It wasn't broken. Broken is obvious. You can see something broken. But it was a hairline fracture. And she said, it hurts more than I can ever imagine.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
And so I do want to speak just a minute to folks that might be in a fractured relationship. It's not broken, so it must be okay. But there are a lot of fractured relationships out there, and people are hurting, and they don't know why. So I want to challenge us as individuals, is there something in your relationship that you know you're doing that is hurting your relationship? Might not be broken. You're still together. But I think about the intimacy that has robbed so many people today, struggle with pornography. Mm. And what that does, that takes the intimacy out of your marriage.
Right.
And whether you're man or woman, if you're involved in those things, I want to tell you right now, if you're watching pornography, you are robbing your spouse of a God-giving blessing in marriage. And so many people deal with that. It doesn't matter who you are. You can struggle with those things. If you struggle with greed, that's going to hurt your relationship. If you struggle with lust, whatever it may be. And so there might be some people that were fractured marriages or fractured relationships. And would you agree across the board that there are some things that people could fix in those relationships?
I think there are definitely issues in every relationship that people need to work on. But just like you were saying, they don't want to acknowledge right. their own problems and their own part in it. Right. Instead, it's all on you. It's all on you. I'm perfect. I haven't done anything wrong. And it's like, well, what do you expect to get from that? If they're thinking they're right and you're thinking you're right, how are you going to repair that? A fracture right. will become a break because of pride.
Right. And in the meantime, that fracture, it is so painful. And a lot of times we see a problem in our relationship. We see a problem in marriage, but we think it's the other person's fault, you know, and we don't want to fix that. But I'm telling you, it will help your relationship and it'll help your walk with God. As David said in the Bible, he said, Lord, search me, you know, search my heart, see if there's any wicked way within me. And in order for us to have those healthy marriages and relationships, it's got to start here. It's got to start with us.
Right.
And you'll see a change in that. And your spouse or partner will see a change. And it just makes for a good relationship, you know?
Yeah. So, Dad, what do you think the answer is, or the biblical solution is, to repair a broken relationship?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. Because the truth is, whether it's a relationship of marriage, a relationship of friendship, just a social relationship, anything, it always is mended by one key thing, and that is forgiveness. Because anytime you have a relationship, whether it's just friends and a marriage, if someone does not forgive someone,
right.
you'll never have that true mending and the true relationship. And I can't help but think, for all of us, it goes back to one person. And that one person is
Jesus.
Because the greatest broken relationship in all of humankind happened in the Garden of Eden.
Wow.
When Adam and Eve sinned against God.
I never thought about it that way.
That relationship was broken. And some would say, oh, well, it was beyond repair. No, God already knew that was going to happen. And even in Genesis chapter number 3, I believe it is, it talks about God bringing that healing and bringing that redemption and repairing that relationship. And so Jesus was God on the earth. He came down to die on the cross for our sins to do what? To offer that forgiveness.
Wow.
To repair that relationship between God and man. And I think the problem is with relationships today, yeah, there can be good relationships and they go along good. And even people that aren't Christians, they can have good relationships. But a true, solid, long-lasting relationship will always be from God first, understanding He offered that forgiveness to us to bring us back, reconcile us to God. And if we offer that same biblical forgiveness, now remember, the Bible says when God forgives us of our sin, we're forgiven. I heard it said like this, He casts our sins into the sea of forgetfulness and puts up a no fishing sign. He doesn't hold that against us. And in any relationship, when you forgive someone, don't you bring that up again.
So what would you say are the steps to forgiveness? How would you start it, forgiving a relationship and trying to mend it?
To mend it? Well, the first thing is...
Acknowledgement.
Acknowledgement that you are part of the problem.
Right.
See, a lot of times we think, well, I've done my part. I'm good. I'm maybe some people think, well, I'm perfect in this relationship. But it's just, it's true with Jesus. You can't get saved until you realize you're lost.
Right. You have to
and
admit
have to
your
acknowledge,
sins.
Yeah, admit you're
part.
A sinner. And so in a relationship, you've got to admit that you can't change the other person.
Right. You can only change yourself.
All you can do is change yourself. But when you get to that point, then you'll offer forgiveness. And here's a key, too. A lot of people might not realize this. You can offer and give forgiveness to someone without them having to come to you and ask you.
Right.
Because a lot of times we harbor the unforgiveness in our heart, and it comes out in subtleties and overtones that people don't even realize. If you've got a problem with your spouse and you haven't forgiven them for something, you can smile and act like everything's going great, but that's there, and you hold that against them. So you've got to forgive it.
Right.
You say, and people say, well, they didn't come to me and ask. Well, you can go on holding a grudge the rest of your life if you want to, but that's like serving someone poison and drinking it yourself.
Right.
You know?
Right. I think a lot of people forgive hoping that things will change, and they don't forgive for themselves. You know, so that they can move on and become the best version of themselves and have better relationships in the future. It's all about, okay, well, I'm going to forgive. Now it's going to be fine again, right? And that's not always the case.
No, it's not. And if you want change, you got to be the agent of change.
Yep.
And again, you do your part and
forgive them, move on.
And God honors that. And then you pray for your friend or your spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend and ask God to reveal it to them and help them to see that no one's perfect. And then maybe they'll come and ask for forgiveness. But I'm telling you, the first step to forgiveness, and even the Bible talks about that. If you go to pray and you know someone has something against you, it tells us you go to them. So many times we wait for somebody to come to us.
Right.
Pride. We just wait. And sometimes that may never happen. But if you want to have a good relationship, you take the initiative.
Right.
And you go to them. And sometimes people are just waiting for that.
Yeah.
You know, but still we just walk around in that pride. But whether it's a relationship in marriage, friendship, whatever it is, and the most important, our relationship with God, it comes through forgiveness. And if you really want to be Christ-like, then you offer that forgiveness. Whether you feel like that person deserves it or not, you just offer it. And God will do great things in relationships.
I agree. You know, you can always forgive them and pray for them. If the outcome isn't, you know, what you would hope, you can pray for them and love them from a distance. Because God is all about love, and you can love someone and not have that relationship, if that makes sense. Because sometimes relationships don't work out right away. Sometimes, just like you said, it takes time.
Right.
And sometimes all you can do is pray and love them.
Right. And remember.
Do they find Jesus?
Yeah, the relationship, a marriage, it's not a 50-yard dash. I call it a walk-a-thon.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we get older, it's not easy to run those marathons. But we just walk through life together, and it's a journey. And I'm telling you, when you get on the latter end of that journey sometimes, you look back, you can see your mistakes and all. But you realize some things that can help that. It's just a matter of whether we want to do that, whether we want to forgive and still be sacrificial in our giving.
And both parties need to have Jesus as well.
And both parties, and that's, you know, another reason too, the Bible, biblical marriage is for a Christian to marry another Christian.
Right, do not be unequally yoked.
Right, and that's all, there's so much in that. But a lot of times people will marry someone they know is not a believer, but they think they can change them.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times it's like that scenario of you standing in a chair and somebody on the ground. You try to pull them up and, you know, it gets kind of tough, but it's a lot easier than just pull you down.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot in relationships, too. People get off track and start doing things they know aren't good for the marriage.
Yeah, they marry for potential, for the image that they think that they'll become. And
right.
You marry a person for who they are. Either you love them or you don't.
Right.
You can't change a person.
And it's up to us as individuals to keep working on who we are. Let
Christ
work on who we are and
exactly.
Get to that point where we need to be.
I agree.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast.
And I hope that something we said today was an encouragement to you as we walk through life's problems together.
And to anyone listening, we'll be praying for you and hope you have a wonderful day in the Lord.
God bless you.